Thank you for praying along with me, and I don't know how distracted you get when I'm up here praying. Hopefully, if you are getting distracted, you're just praying whatever is on your heart, and fortunately, we serve a God who can hear all of it, which is amazing, the kind of God that we serve. I'm glad you're here this morning. If you're here, that means you changed your clocks. Congratulations. And there's a number of you at home because you didn't. Hi, thanks for joining us anyway. But now your clock is set to the right time, and you'll be here next week, I'm sure. I want to just use an analogy this morning on what I think Paul is getting at in Ephesians verse 11 through 13. So we've been spending a lot of time in one chapter that is 16 verses. And really, this one chapter 4, verse 1 through 16, is only two sentences. If you were able to read Greek, that's what you would see. Two sentences. They all combine together. And I want to use an analogy today before I read the three verses I'm going to read for you so that we don't get lost in the different titles that we hear in verse 11. But I want to remind us of something that we did last week. If you were here last week, you each got a note card, and they were passed out to you to ensure every single one of you got a note card. And I did that purposely this week. I did not have anybody pass anything out, but if you noticed, if you were observant as you were walking in and didn't run into one of the things in the aisle, there was a piece of paper sitting on that little podium that you could have picked up. And I didn't tell you to pick it up. I didn't tell anybody to tell you to pick it up because I wanted to use it as another point. We'll get there towards the end of the service. But I want to remind us of what we talked about last week so that we understand we have all we need. God has given His church all we need to do the work of ministry, every single one of us. And each of you got one of these so that you could write something on there in response to the grace that God has shown you through Christ. Christ is the giver of the gift. The gift is grace, and that grace is given in order to draw us into verse 11, 13, and then 14 through 16. And if you were here last week, you saw this slide, and the imagery of an ocean, because that's the amount of grace Jesus has to give. And if you were here, you saw the analogy or the examples I used, a little cup, a bucket, and a big trash can, and that was representative of the grace Jesus is pouring out on us. Again, this was not about human ability. I differentiated between Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, which is more on individual gifts. You are empowered by the Spirit to do certain things, and some of you are just better at it than others because God gives you those gifts. But this was based on not our abilities, but on the work of Jesus on the cross and the grace He lavishes on us. That was the point of verse 7 through 10. That is necessary to know as we understand this single gift, which is grace, is given to all of us. And you get to come to Jesus with each of those sizes of containers on how much grace you receive. And if you dump the trash can of water, we'll call it grace, all over you, you're soaking wet. And when you go hug somebody else, you're going to get them soaking wet. That's what Jesus has to offer. The fullness of experiencing all that Jesus has is that image, I think. Now, that has been given to the entire church. And so each one of you got this. Some of you text me and told me what you wrote down on this, because it was meant to see how can I respond to God's grace and do the work of ministry. We do a lot of different things here at Grace. How am I responding to that? And I told you to put it in your Bible or stick it at the spot at home where you do your devotions, and maybe you wrote something down there. Maybe you haven't yet. If you didn't get one of those cards, there are some on the welcome table when you leave. Just grab one, take that with you, and think about, pray about, how is God calling you, as we'll use today, how is God calling you to get into the game? In what way, what role can you play in this thing we call discipleship. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more, but in the weeks and months ahead. But I didn't give everybody this paper because we're going to conclude with that paper. And if you didn't grab one, you can grab one on the way out. But I want to use it to make a point. Before we get there, we've got to understand we have been given everything we need to do what God has called us to do what Jesus has called us to do in this work of ministry. Jesus has equipped the saints, that's all of us, with the grace we've received to do the work of ministry. You don't need anything extra. This isn't about individual spiritual gifts. This is about us being recipients of this grace to do the work of ministry. And this is what God wants us to do. This is what Jesus is empowering us to do through his grace in the church. 11 through 13 is going to tell us that. The importance of that, of 11 through 13, is then followed up with 14 through 16, because there are going to be a lot of challenges. That's why it's essential that you grow and mature. You can't stay a baby forever. But to understand that, I want to use this analogy. If you've ever played a sport, if you've ever worked at a company, you may have heard this little catchphrase. There is no I in team. Very good. That's all you had to do. Fill in the blank is dangerous if you're a pastor because you're not exactly sure if everybody's going to get it. But you did. Congratulations. You changed your clocks. You got the fill in the blank. The week can only go up from here. There's no I in team. In the first service, I'm glad none of you did this. In the first service, some wise guy said, well, there is a me. I said, we'll pray for you because you need to grow. So there is no I in team. What I want to do is use this analogy to help explain what Paul is talking about in verse 11 through 13. And I thought about this to try and capture what he's saying and the different pieces of this particular sport. It happens to be soccer. I chose it because that's what I played, and I think it works well. It does work with other team sports. I didn't choose baseball because while it is a team sport, I just think soccer captures it a bit better. I think basketball would capture it a bit better. Football captures it a bit better. But as Vince pointed out at the end of first service, he convinced me soccer is even better than that example because in soccer, you are constantly moving. You are constantly engaged in the game in some way, shape, or form. He said, in football, you know, you have a play and everything stops. And you get back together and you try and make the next play and then you go again. And so even soccer, I think, helps us to understand what we are engaged in. Discipleship is our team engaged in this game. The game is discipleship. But I want to use soccer as the example. Jesus is the coach. Jesus is the best player that ever existed. He knows the game. He created the game. He is like, if we could just play this game like Jesus, we would win every time. And so Jesus is the coach, and he's the example. We all want to be able to play like Jesus played. Now, on a soccer field, if you're not familiar with the sport, everybody has a position, and that position is given a name. I don't know if you can see all the names behind me there, but right there is a name of that particular position. Each one knows its role. They have a particular role to play on the field, but each one can actually play each other's role. So if I played defense, they don't have it up there. This is a different formation. I played like back here. This would have been called the sweeper, the last position. I still could have went up on and played offense if I wanted to. I still could have gone up there and do that. Now I was better equipped, better trained, better understood how to play my position, but I could play the other ones as well. And so each player is constantly engaged in the game. So if you don't have the ball, if you play soccer and if you coach kids, especially small kids, Everybody thinks the play is all where the ball is. So there's 50 kids crowded around the ball and nobody over here. And I could never be a children's, for all you guys who coach soccer for kids, more power to you. And ladies, I just could not do it. I do way too much yelling. People would be crying. It would not be pretty. But if you know the game, you know that that's not how it works. You're all the way over here, so this guy's doing something up here so that if the ball's here, he can pass the ball over there. If you're just standing still, you're not actually in the game. You are constantly moving. The play is constantly switching fields, back and forth, coming back and then going back forward. And then you're on offense and then you're on defense. And just as fast as you were on offense, now you got to get on defense. And so each person plays a role. And what I want you to remember, because I'm going to use some words that Paul uses that gets us thinking that these are the important people. Words like apostle and prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And we might think they're over here somewhere playing a different game because I'm not them. But what I want us to see, what I think Paul is pointing out here, all the other players. Now, the captain might have others involved as the rest of the players. In fact, all the sprints that everybody else has to run, so does the captain. All the laps that everybody else has to run, so does the captain. When the team gets yelled at by the coach because they're not doing it right, guess what? The captain's running with the rest of the team. Usually, the captain has some kind of armband to signify that's the captain on the team, and they play a different role. But they're just as much a part of the team as everybody else. So when I played soccer, I was the captain of our soccer team, me and another guy that served as captains. And I was the captain not because, obviously, I was the biggest guy. I was the captain not because I was the fastest guy. For every normal man's one step, I got to take like two or three. And I was not the best player on the team. I did not have a really powerful foot, like kicking the ball far or really hard. What I could do really well was yell. And they said, Ted, you're already yelling all the time anyway. You might as well yell at other people and try and tell us what to do and where to go. So I could yell really good. I think one of the times the guys got me a megaphone or something as like the gag gift or whatever. So that's what I did. But my position back here gave me a vantage point where I could see the entire field. I could watch the game unfold before my eyes, and because I could yell to David to go and pass the ball to Nick because he was the center forward, and he was open, and I could see the space becoming available, and though Nick wasn't even standing in the spot where I'm telling David to pass it, I knew Nick was running to that spot. And so on the soccer field, you've got to be talking all the time. I was just as much a part of that team as everybody else. I did the exact same things as everybody else. My role was just a little different. And so for the entire game, even if it was an all-offensive game, and I got to just sit back and watch the whole thing, I'm actually still involved because I'm trying to yell up to those guys where to pass or who to, when to shoot. I can actually come to the center of the field and say, pass it back, and I could pass it over there and switch fields. I still need to be involved in the whole thing. That's what discipleship is. And so what does winning look like? If we are winning at this game we call discipleship that we are all a part of, winning looks like Christ-likeness. We are winning if we are becoming more Christ-like. This does not happen by myself. I really want to become more Christ-like. I do. I pray about that. I've got people in my life to remind me how I'm not, so that I can try and change. I read scripture to try and help me do that. There's all kinds of ways that I'm trying to be more Christ-like. I could do the same thing for soccer. I could go out to the field by myself and play hours and hours on end. I could go to the gym, weight train. I could go run laps and laps, be endured, get greater endurance. I could watch lots of video and see how other guys are doing it. I could learn lots of plays. And as soon as I step out there in that field, if I just did that myself, it has not helped the team one bit. If the rest of the team isn't doing anything. Oh, wow, Ted's a really great soccer player, but their team is terrible. They haven't won a game. And in fact, if you were the greatest player and you had a lot of talent, it didn't mean you were going to go very far. Yeah, maybe you get chosen to be an all-star because you're really good, but your team was terrible, and you never won. The point of soccer is not for you to get a college scholarship. The point of the game is to win as a team. And so it actually doesn't help if I, like, get as great as I can, but my team is terrible. And so Christ-likeness, maturing as a believer for its own sake, is not the goal. The goal, as Paul is going to tell us here in just a minute, is Christ-likeness maturing as a team. We are all engaged in the same game. And what it looks like if we're winning is you and I are becoming more like Jesus. He's the greatest player that ever played. He's like Pele. The name that, even if you don't know anything about soccer, you probably have heard the name Pele. We are trying to play the game like Jesus did, and we're trying to do that together as a team. It doesn't help the team if Ted just does it by himself. And in fact, it doesn't work that way, as Paul has been pointing out, because Jesus doesn't just incorporate into his body, well, you can go do your Christianity thing over here, and you can do yours over here. I don't really need the team. I'll win this game myself. Well, you try and play a soccer game 11v1 and see how well you do. That's what it's like if we don't see how important this community is to playing this game. And we know we're winning at this game when we see more people, including ourselves, become more like Jesus. And so that the different roles that we all play, we've all received that grace. It's not like Ted's received an abundance more than you. It's all offered to you. The whole ocean is offered to you. How are you approaching Jesus in that grace? That grace is what draws us into a life of discipleship, actually being engaged in this game and playing it and winning at it. Means not only is Ted growing in his walk with Jesus, but so is everybody else. So if Ted was the captain of the soccer team, I ran the same sprints, I ran the same laps, I did the same drills, I went to the same meetings, I was at the gym when everybody else was. There was nothing different, except I served in this capacity in the game. And so each of those roles has a role to play, and they have things that they do different than maybe mine was. The center forward had a different role, just as important to the game as mine, just different. And so when we hear these words that make us think these are people that aren't engaged in the game, the apostles, they were amazing, but that's not who Paul's talking about. The prophets, oh man, they'd said some amazing things. They were on fire for God. The evangelists. Paul is talking about the team, and Jesus has given the team everything they need to win this game, to play this game. So you need to hear yourself as part of this team, even when I use scary words like, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And he gave these people to play this role in a church so that they would equip his people for works of service. The point of the team in the game is to equip everybody else. And so my role as the captain, maybe I met with the coach and they're like, hey, here's the plays we're going to run. I can't be at practice right away, so you guys are going to run these drills, and you guys are going to take them on this jog, and you guys are going to run these sprints. But I had to do the same thing everybody else was. But the coach has given me some equipping things. We're getting ready for the game, so he's given these people to the church to equip the body for works of service. That's the work of ministry. All of us are engaged in the game. The work of ministry is a team sport. It's all of us. It's not some of us. It's not a few of us. It's not just the people we pay. It's all of us. So that we might be built up as the body of Christ. This is the goal. This is how we know we're winning. When we are all growing in our walk with Jesus. Until, and we keep playing this game because the goal is reaching the unity and the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God so that we become mature. Because one day, somebody else is going to start playing. They're going to come to the soccer field and they'll be like, I have no clue how to play this. Can anybody teach me? That's us. And that might be you. Maturing means we're getting better at understanding this game, this discipleship thing that we're all engaged in. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Jesus wants us to experience an ocean full of his grace, and he knows that that happens when we are engaged in discipleship. Because as we've said, you've heard me say a million times, discipleship is not a Sunday morning event. It's not a list of beliefs I just check off. It's not just a label I wear. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'll raise my hand for that. Discipleship is actually being engaged in the game. It's not sitting on the sidelines. It's not even just standing there like this. Hey, why won't you get the ball to me? If you've played soccer before, if you stand still, that's the easiest person to mark. You know where they are all the time. And as soon as the ball is kicked there, you can steal it. Just standing there isn't even in the game. That's what, in my mind, that is what discipleship is. And so, if we are winning, if you are doing your part in this game, in discipleship, you ought to be seeing more Christ-likeness in your life. That is the goal. That is what Jesus is seeking to do with the different roles that he's given. The team captains that are playing their role is to equip all of us to play, to do the work of ministry. There's lots of different things that we do. It takes all of us doing that together. And as we do that together, we actually experience unity in the faith. Now, that unity in the faith is not just my own personal belief, but it's actually believing the gospel as it's revealed to us in Scripture. Because there's a lot of other gospels being talked about out there. If you have been coming to the Connection Group, Todd's been doing a whole series on what is the gospel. Because there's a lot of false gospels out there. There's entire churches, entire denominations walking away from the truth of the Scripture. Walking away from what the Scriptures reveal to us about who Jesus is. And as Todd shared in that Connection Group this morning, they might even agree to some of the same things you agree to. Like if we all just read the Apostles' Creed and they say, oh yeah, I believe all that. But when you ask them about Jesus' bodily resurrection, they'll say, well, it's a spiritual resurrection. It's if you felt something and you spiritually are made new. Nope, that's not what Scripture tells us. This is a bodily resurrection. Jesus was literally dead, and then 3 days later, he's literally alive again. This unity is about what we believe together about the faith. Remember in the whole one faith. So the team is trying to equip us to walk out into that world knowing what we believe and why we believe it, and it actually having some kind of impact on our lives. Because what should be happening, we know we're winning when we see that we're maturing. So as I said, it doesn't help the team if I do everything I can to get better at soccer and they do absolutely nothing. Yeah, Ted might get a scholarship, but you had the worst team in the world. And it didn't make any one of those other guys on the team any better. And the great, I think, the greatest athletes will always say, my team, I'm as good as I am because my team made me better. They recognize it wasn't even their own abilities. It was being put together with these other guys playing that actually made them better. That is the mark of somebody maturing. And Paul says this is what ought to be happening to us, not just Ted, but to the body. This whole conversation in Ephesians 4, this whole mantra about discipleship is not just one of us, a couple of us growing in our faith. It's all of us together experiencing, attaining the full measure of all that Christ has to offer us when we are engaged in this game. And our expectation ought to be that we are growing. That's kind of what the language in verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Now that knowledge of the Son of God is speaking about personal relationship. There's a knowing that takes place that is more than just intellectual belief, like checking the box. We have to have that right belief. He'll tell us that in 14 through 16 next week. We'll talk about that, why this is so important. We have to have that, but it's not just intellectual assent. The Pharisees were the smartest guys. They knew everything about the Old Testament. They could quote left and right, and it was them who had lost sight of what God had come to do through his Son Jesus. It's not about just attending an event. Maturity means there is some kind of growth which is happening because of the relationship I have with Jesus in connection to the team that I'm a part of. And we ought to expect to see growth as a result of that. Our body ought to be growing. And so I honestly believe that we should not always have to deal with the same things that we always have to deal with as a church. That as we go through problems and issues, it doesn't separate us. It doesn't make us weaker. It actually makes us stronger, because you know what happens on this team when we're playing the game together? Go back to verse 2. Being completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. That's how our team serves together. That's how we interact with each other. That's how we relate to each other. The more that we do that, the more we are maturing. The more we're going to experience that growth as a body. And there's a reason, I think, that God says in Acts, and he added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is God's work. He's bringing them to the team because that grace is offered to anyone who would receive it. And now God incorporates you into the body, or for our sake this morning, the team. And some of you are going to play different roles, and some of you are already playing different roles. Some of you are on our leadership team. We call it the ministry council. You are playing a role on this game, on this team, just like if we were on the soccer field. And you have leadership responsibilities, and you serve in these roles like apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, shepherd, evangelist. These aren't people that we're paying. These aren't the professionals. These aren't the seminary grads, doctorates, whatever. Because the people Paul's talking to, that didn't even exist. They're just like us, coming out of our homes, away from our jobs for one day of the week, stopping all of our activities for a little bit of time, coming together and saying, okay, how do I get more engaged in this game? How is God using me? How am I going to grow as a disciple? Who around me needs to hear about Jesus? And you know what happens when we know we're winning? We see a lot more people that look like the greatest player who ever played. There's a lot more people looking like Jesus. Our interactions become more like Jesus. That's what discipleship looks like. That's where Paul is headed. That's what he's calling us to. But here's the thing. And this is why I didn't hand out a piece of paper to every single one of you. Unlike the grace offered to all who would receive, so whether you're engaged in the game or not, Christ's grace is offered to you if you come to him in faith and receive that gift and confess Jesus as Lord. And you know what? I've played soccer with a lot of people that kind of weren't in the game. And so I didn't give one of these to every single one of you, because unlike the note card, it's up to you whether or not you get involved in the game. You don't have to be engaged. Like, there's no fee that you got to pay. There's nobody, like, you're not going to get a phone call from me and say, hey, you didn't bring the orange slices today. What's going on? Hey, you just stood on the soccer field. Now, as a captain, maybe I'll challenge you. Maybe I'll say, hey, we need you. There was a kid that had a hissy fit all the time on our soccer team. It was so annoying. And as a captain, before the game, he was good. And he could kill the ball. Like, you got in the way of that thing, you probably had a concussion if it hit you in the head. And I would go to him before the game and say, look, man, I know you're frustrated, but we need you today. Like, we need you engaged in this thing. God does not force us to do it. The sheet, if you grabbed one, you can look at it. If you didn't, it's up here. You're probably not going to be able to read what it says, unless you have eagle eyes. But you can grab one on your way out and take a look at it. This is taken from a book by Jim Putman. He's a pastor out in Idaho. And he wrote a book called Real Life Discipleship. And I've used that book. And actually, there's a training manual that I've used as well. And some of you have used that training manual. So if you have, this should look familiar to you. It's just a wheel that he's kind of created with the team that he put together out at his church and said, what does it look like for somebody to mature? If we're all doing the basics of soccer, that's not how the game's played. So when you start getting into the game and you start playing people better than you, if all you know how to do is pass it back and forth and nothing else, you're going to get creamed. Maturing is like that in the church. We ought to be maturing. Now, he's using this wheel to kind of show, what does it look like when I never played this game in my life? And for me, as a kid, walking into church in my mom's womb, I was in the game from little on up. Didn't mean I was always playing the game. I was around it. I knew the plays. I knew how to talk. I knew what to do when the right time was to do it. But I would have called myself a spiritual child. And I would have put myself in that spiritual child section, even in my early 20s. Because I wasn't really playing the game. And this wheel, what it helped me do is really identify what should be happening in my life if we're winning. What maturing should be taking place. And again, this isn't, you know, straight out of the scripture, but I do think it helps to capture what it looks like to grow and mature. If we're going to win at this game, it means we get better at it, which actually means for our sake in terms of the church, It means we begin to mature. And part of that maturing process is being engaged in the game. It's not coming and just standing on the sidelines, and some people don't even show up when the game's being played. So you can take this with you if you so choose. As I said, I specifically didn't give it to you because God's not going to make you. It's not like you're going to go home and there's a lightning bolt waiting for you for God to say, hey, you better get in the game. This is our ability, our decision to choose. But if you want to be in this discipleship process, if you want to be engaged in the game, if you want to see God work in your life, if you want to see God work in this church, then it's time to get engaged. This wheel helps you identify, hey, where am I at in my maturing process? And what's the next step that I can take? That's what that little note card was really for. The little note card is to say, guess what? God's given you this grace, and you have the opportunity to use it. Figure out what role you're going to play. What position are you going to play on that field? And start playing it. And see how God works in your life. And guess what? When you're on a team, not everybody gets along on the team. I think that's why Paul led with verse 2. Being completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. That's an important part. And the more we actually mature, the more that describes who we are. I mean, that's what I pray about. That's what I want to see happen. That this is a description of the kind of life and relationship you'll experience if you are playing this game, which is discipleship, at Grace Church. On this sheet, if you take one home, on the back of it, if you grabbed one, you could write notes on it. If you didn't, you can write anything you remember after you leave today. The bottom of that says, am I in the game? The American church, a lot of people in the American church are not in the game. We wouldn't be in the place we're in as a culture, as a church, if more people were in the game. I mean, we don't even have people bringing orange slices to the game. There's a lot of people that haven't even shown up for the game. So what is going to change? If we keep doing what we've done, we're going to keep getting what we got. And that ain't real pretty. So I'm the team captain. I'm not the coach. I'm the team captain. I have the blessing, the pleasure, the privilege that I can be completely focused and engaged in this game. Because tomorrow morning when I get up, unlike you, many of you are going to go to your job, wherever that takes you. You're going to go do what normal life looks for you like for you. You know what I get up on Monday? I'm watching game. I'm watching video. I'm learning new plays. I'm doing some exercising. I'm hitting the weight room myself. I get the privilege of doing that because you're willing to say, Ted, we want you to do that. Because you make sure my family's fed, whether you realize that or not. I only have because you guys give. That allows me, as the team captain, to get us ready to be engaged in this game. And I get to spend my life doing it because of what you're willing to do. And if I had to, I'd go do a job and do this too. But I am so blessed to be able to spend my time doing this. And I want to be engaged in this game as seriously as you are. And so I started a prayer journal, and there's a lot of names in there, a lot of your names, because I am praying for you on a regular basis, especially if you are serving in a role. You need to know that you are being prayed for. Because I believe this is how we grow and mature and we win. Not because Ted does it himself, but because all of us are doing it. And sometimes we, on our soccer team, we called that a gut check. And what Jim Putman wanted to do to the American church was give us a gut check. Where are we really on this wheel of maturity, of discipleship? Am I actually engaged in this game? Am I playing a role, a position? So as we close this morning, I want to pray about that. I want to encourage you to take one of these home with you. If you didn't grab a note card, I want to encourage you to grab one of those. As I said, a couple people text me and said, here's what I wrote on my note card. I'm so glad that God is moving in that way. And I believe that if we all start doing this together, we actually become a movement. We start winning. And when we start winning, you know what that actually means? More people find Jesus. So I want to encourage you to take this with you and pray about getting engaged in the game, in growing. That growth will become very important, as Paul points out in verse 14 through 16, which we'll cover next week. But for this morning, we just need that gut check to ask the Lord, where am I at in this maturing process? God, what's the next step I can take? Because all you got to do is come back on that field and get into it again. That's as easy as it is. Let's pray. Father, as we just come before you this morning, God, I just am grateful, first off, of that note card that we have, which represents your grace, which is given to all who would come to you in faith. And you would give this gift, Lord. And so you have given us everything we need for the work of ministry, to be engaged in the game. And so, God, I pray. I feel like I've been given that gut check just in leadership as the American church and just saying, Lord, we really need to be more intentional and engaged. And I've really been trying to do that in my own life, Lord, and I'm grateful for the opportunity here at Grace Church to spend each and every day doing that. And so, Lord, I just pray that we as a team, because I'm not doing that by myself, I'm called up as a captain coming out of the very same pew that everybody else is coming out of. God, I know that I'm not doing that myself, but there is a team here, and we happen to call that here Grace Church. And Lord, I just pray that you would just help each one of us really see where we're at in this maturing process, Lord. Really take stock of where we are. And God, I pray that you would help us get engaged in the game. Show us what that next step looks like, Lord. God, I believe if we can do that, we will see you do amazing things, Lord God, and we won't have to look far because we'll just hear story after story after story of your promises actually happening in people's lives. And people's lives become the evidence, God, that you are at work in and through this church. God, I pray that you would make it so. In Jesus' name, amen.